spread the truth. Document it. Prove it. Make it irrefutable, and you too will become dangerous to those who admire us in lies and enslave us.
Globalism.
But because they are lying, it's possible to expose them. And this is their Achilles heel. By comparison, we have nothing to hide, therefore we have no reason to lie. And we wouldn't want to, even if we could. Truth is a far superior weapon than deceit. It's a weapon which is denied to them. And in the end, it will be the decisive weapon that destroys them completely.
Fucking
welcome back. Thank you for joining us here this Friday. It is, 11th of April, 2025. Hope you're all doing very, very well out there. It's nice to see you. We got Jake Shields in studio here with us today. How's it going, Jake? Good to see you.
Good, man. Thank you. It's super nice up here in North Idaho.
You like it?
Yeah, it's great. I'm not used to how friendly people are. He's had four people just invite me to their homes. The city's no one ever invites you over. It's like strange.
Like
someone trying to murder me and kidnap me.
What was your first impression when you rolled in? What was the first feeling you had when you came into Idaho? You met all the cool racists and anti-Semites.
It's wild out here. No, it's just beautiful. It's the air felt fresh, the beauty, the trees. Yeah. I'm in Las Vegas, where it's in the middle of the freaking desert. Did you cuss on the show or no? I don't know if you guys are clean.
No,
people.
It was fine. Go ahead.
Yeah, middle of the fucking desert. And like, they come here and it's just nice. I love it up here. Everyone's been so friendly and nice and welcoming.
We still have white landscapers and maids up here too, and waiters.
So you don't need Mexicans for that.
No.
Well, they're working on it, but occasionally when BlackRock shows up and buys up a ton of land to do new construction, then you see.
Yeah, that's a problem. The whole BlackRock buying houses, tough subject. We should ban that shit. They're coming in to scooping up houses, driving up prices.
I don't know how it's legal.
It's ridiculous.
How is there no decisions again? Well, we know why.
You'll own nothing and be happy.
Pretty much. Should be a nation of renters. I heard, what was it? No, that was in Canada. The stats were renting is now more expensive than actually buying a house.
Wow. Isn't it awesome? It's so great. Yes.
Yeah, and they're trying to push it and allowing all these big firms coming up, buying the homes, driving up the prices.
Yeah.
And then they're just going to jack the rents up.
Borders open, let them all in, right? And if it's not legal, then it's H-1Bs, and it just continues, right?
Yeah. Yeah, legal or illegal. What's the difference?
It's actually worse with legal to a certain extent, because that's harder to tackle at the end if you're going to deal with it. But anyway.
But, okay, so we know you're not a white nationalist, but how's it feel being around a bunch of white people? I mean, it's pretty awesome. I mean,
everyone's been really nice. I didn't know there were so many white nationalists. And it was a little strange. I was at a party last night. I'm like, wait, am I at a white nationalist party? Or is everyone just talking about Hitler? What's going on here? He's getting popular everywhere I go, but it's like really popular up here.
It's always the nicest people, though. I find they're always the most hospitable, classy.
everyone's been extremely nice and friendly. I'm like, this is a nice place. People invite you into their homes, and
it's not like the Hollywood, Jewish stereotype.
Oh, God, Hollywood is terrible.
What a Nazi is, right? The skinhead that they show and all that.
Oh, like, it's just fake, and it's just not working anymore. Calling people Nazis, and it's just ridiculous and dumb.
Yeah, it's taking it away. So, would you tell us a little bit about the journey? Obviously, MMA background. Do you still actively do fights?
No, I don't fight, but I still train fighters. I still train most days. So, I'm still very much involved in the industry. That's where most of my money comes from. I don't want to, obviously, going to give no details because there's certain people that try to cancel any work I could do.
Yeah, yeah.
Even though everyone I work with says, just go fuck yourself when they contact them. With these vile, the tunnel dwellers constantly contact anyone I work with because, I'm not a big fan of genocide, so it makes me a bad person.
There you go.
Start realizing it, you say something like, oh, I wish they wouldn't kill kids. Like, you're anti-Semitic. So it's like they start radicalizing you with the attacks. I'm just like, man, could America not pay it to kill kids? Why are you anti-Semitic? Why do you hate Jews?
Too much to ask, Jake. Too much to ask, I guess. So tell us about how you kind of pivoted towards politics and wanting to start the podcast and all that, the Fight Back podcast.
Yeah, what's the journey?
By accident. I was just so laser-focused in fighting for a lot of years. You know, when you're fighting that level, winning world titles. You can't really pay attention to much else. They didn't have a TV. I didn't give a shit about politics. You know, I believe the Muslims probably took down 9/11, the World Trade Center. I was stupid. But then slowly San Francisco started falling apart, and I saw – so it really hit me as one day I was out in Berkeley, you know, eating with the girl, hanging out, and then just riots broke out all over the streets, and Trump supporters were getting beat up. So I ran out. I'm the dumbass. I fought off these Antifa guys. They were complete cowards. The worst fighters ever. But there was like tons of them, you know, and the girl I was with kept yelling at the guys, and I could see that they would hit her. So I'm like, all right, I need to get her out of here back to the car. And I go back, seen a couple cops, and I grab the cops, like, guys, let's run back. There's like riots, guys are getting beat up. And they're like, oh, we're not allowed in there. I'm like, what do you mean you're not allowed in there? So like the mayor had to give the cops orders. They couldn't come and stop Antifa from beating up protesters. Mm. It was insane. So that's when I kind of started following politics. I don't know when that was, 2016, 17, somewhere around there. And then I just kind of slowly got more and more involved, and COVID hit, and they just shut down everything, you know. Oh, that was when I retired from fighting. So I had nothing to do. They're like, you can't work. You can't go to the gym. They shut down the beaches, the hiking trails in San Francisco. I would go to the park. Everyone would be wearing masks. And it's just like, you people are crazy. I'm not, but they act like I was crazy. And it's like, no, you guys have lost your fucking minds. This is just insanity. Then the St. Floyd hit, and then just riots broke out in the street. And they're like, oh, these riots don't cause COVID when they're telling us to be locked in. And that's when I'm like, I've just had enough. So that's when I grabbed my phone. My manager ran my Twitter. I'd never sent a tweet in my life, and just started tweeting shit. My manager freaked out. You got stop tweeting. I'm just like, nah, I'm good. I'm these fuckers piss me off. So everyone's calling me a racist. I'm trying to kill their grandmas. I mean, obviously I was right. I'm always a year or two ahead of everything. So obviously I'm right now. Everyone knows that now. But it was just all that bullshit, and it just becomes a point where I've had enough. I had to start speaking out, and everyone tried to tell me not to, but what are you going to do?
And then you had on some guys like Joel Davis, mm-hmm. Thomas Rousseau, David Duke. So how did that go? I mean, how was your experience, and what made you go for those guys? I mean, they're all
nice
our guys.
No, they're all super nice. Yeah. I like talking to controversial people and hearing different ideas, as long as they're respectful. I don't like talking to disrespectful people. And David Duke, I didn't even know how controversial he was. I didn't know. He's not my generation. I met David Duke, nice old man. You know, I knew he was controversial, but not to the extent. And he wanted to come on my podcast. And I'm like, yeah, let's come on. So I set a date. I didn't realize no one interviewed him in 10 years before me. I just got like a campaign, including by the base free speech people trying to be like, hey, you can't bring David Duke on. It's going to ruin your career. And I'm like, I just gave this guy my word. What, you know, your word is what you have. Like, I'm not going to not bring him on.
And then you find that he's not scary at all.
No, he was like so nice.
Mellow. Like the young kids are harder.
My mom's like, can you not interview him? But then she watched the interview and she's like, oh, he was nice. Like my own mother being like, you can't interview this guy. And it's like, why? What is so scary about this guy? He was a nice old friendly guy. And Patriot Front, everyone's like, they're feds. He's building communities. He's teaching them how to fight, helping them get jobs, helping them. Like, I really like Thomas Rousseau. I do not think he's a fed.
No, nice guy.
He was really like, I think Thomas Rousseau, when I first reached out to him, he was very skeptical, rightfully so. Mm-hmm. But then he asked some of his guys, a lot of them were big fight fans. They're like, yeah, let's do the Jake Shields. He brought like 10 of his guys out. We all worked out. We lifted weights. We went and did the gym fight training. We hung out with them for like, you know, 12, 14 hours. And like, you could tell, is there probably a couple of feds in the organization? Probably. But the organization is not a fed organization.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep. Absolutely. That's right.
Yeah. But it's a good point. Like, why can't we air out all these things, all these ideas? Why, what's the big deal?
No, we should build
to talk to people you don't maybe not necessarily agree with 100%. Yeah. So what?
No, I think we should be able to have these debates in a respectful manner. You know, I had a communist on. No one ever accused me of being a communist. Obviously, I'm not a fucking communist. But I actually liked the guy. I liked the communist. I don't want to like beat him up because he was a friendly guy. I think he's. I don't think he's thought his things out properly.
Who was it? What was his name?
Eddie, god damn it.
Sorry, I put you on the spot here.
He's not real massive, but did pretty well. Okay. I also had Jackson Hinkle on, so two communists.
What do you think of him, Hinkle?
I like him. I know he gets a lot of shit, but he was. I don't agree with all of his ideology, obviously, but I don't have to agree with someone's ideology to like him.
You know what's weird to me? It's when you're like, he has selfie videos of him running around on tanks in Russia with like commie flags on it. And then he just like... But it seems to have no problem going in and out of the border. Like, my brother was harassed And your mom, my mom, coming to see her grandkids.
Interesting point. And yeah. I have like some connections to some of these crazy countries that I might go to at some point, but that might get me some legal trouble because fighting, a lot of these dictators and warlords love fighting. So I have some interesting connections.
Wasn't he in Yemen? I don't want to do this about Jackson Hinkle, but I'm just like,
he was in Yemen, and then going back,
is this not an issue for the...
You have an extra point, I don't know.
He's a double agent for the CIA, okay?
I like the guy, but that's interesting. You know, you brought up interesting points. I'm not going to say he is, but that is an interesting point.
Yeah.
So what's the biggest difference you have with a white nationalist? What's the... Because you have a lot of common points, right? But obviously the...
I think the thing is, okay, I want America to mostly be white. Mm-hmm. And I think white society is good, but I think there's too many people that have been here for a couple of generations. You can't just kick them out. It's not realistic. Mm-hmm. And I think we should stop bringing in mass immigration and stuff. Yeah. I think you need to get people thinking more in the same ideology. And for me, coming through fighting, I have tons of friends, you know, black, Mexican, Muslim. Mm-hmm. But for some reason, most fighters are all super base. So it shows you can have all these conservatives of these other races. But we all have something. I think one thing about race, too, is unites people something in common. I was able to unite through fighting with something common. Mm-hmm. So without that, that's why.
I thought you'd say hating on Israel.
Yeah, exactly. That's true. No, so I understand the white nationalists because I understand the perspective of racist does give you something to unite behind. And America has nothing to unite behind right now. That's why I talk to these guys. I don't know the answer. I don't think, you know, kicking out black people is not realistic. They've been brought over as slaves. So it's like, I'd be like,
yeah, I don't think people are talking about that, but maybe more of like, just a natural segregation process, right? Like, if people want to separate and have their own communities, like, why do people shit their pants when white people want to just be like, we just want to live just a bunch of white people?
Yeah. Do you guys know Io Kamathi, black nationalist?
Yeah. I know. I try to get him on the show. Have you had him on?
I had him on. Yeah. Okay. I liked him. I don't think he likes white people, but we got along really good. We respected each other, you know?
Right. Yeah. That's fine.
YouTube pulled my episode off, man. It's still on Rumble, but it was like such a good episode. It was getting tons of views. I was surprised because he wasn't a big name. It must have been some kind of logarithm because people were liking it so much.
Yeah.
I feel like too, sometimes in the, like the X community, or maybe like for you, you have a niche, you know, so you attract like a certain kind of person, and maybe also, and as far as an X, you know, different people, different races and stuff, but I don't think that's probably the norm out there, right?
Yeah, I mean, I can mix in different groups and get along with pretty much anyone if they treat me with respect, I guess. So I can, like I said, I can hang out with communists. I think it's a stupid ideology, but I understand some of the perspective. Some of our shit's fucked up. Some of the capitalist shit, there is some problems in our capitalist nation. So it's not so maybe we should listen to some of these things these people say. Yeah. Like, I don't think people should go broke because their like kid has cancer.
Yeah, I agree.
So there is some problems in our current capitalist system.
Again, and that's why people are looking at gleaning of some inspiration in terms of national socialism, right? Because they're, you know, taking care of the people.
Getting rid of usury and helping people get homes. It's like,
but that's collectivism, right?
Yeah. My rugged individualism. Yeah, look at what happened to it, right? Everyone's atomized. It's all about commerce and buying shit and, you know, BlackRock takes over. Yeah. And, you know, here we are.
I'd like to get back to something that's just freedom of association, because America, it's already so divided. Yeah. The demographics are just all over the place. But I think that if we supported actual true freedom of association, you'd see the country naturally segregate into different pockets.
It is to some extent already. You know what's crazy? I think it was Obama. Didn't they pass these laws where they put low-income housing in all the rich like neighborhoods? So you couldn't even move away. Yeah. And that's not even just a racial thing. It's like typically if you're, you know, I grew up in a poor area, there's lots of crime in those areas. I mean, it is racially partially too, because rich blacks commit more crime than poor whites, which is a little odd. People never want to talk about that, but they can look up the studies. They don't believe it. I think maybe it's the thug culture. Maybe it's the thug culture trying to act like, oh, I'm gonna be a rapper or something. Because you get these like black kids in rich neighborhoods, and they're still like violent and want to act tough. And it's like,
the reality is they're being programmed with a lot of anti-white messages in media and stuff, and white people are the problem. And you know, man, this has been going on for decades now.
And that's what really talked about. He's like, this. I hate that's being called black culture. It's absolutely disgusting. And he definitely blamed another group that's not quite white.
Yeah. And he was not.
But man, he had some excellent points, you know. Like, I kind of stopped using N-word after hanging out with him, because I said it. And he didn't like, he's just like, oh, I don't say that word because, you know, he didn't like yell at me and get mad. He's just like, it's like a disgusting word that was pushed on us by Jewish people to degrade us, to degrade black culture, to make us think, oh, we're N-words, like a worthless set of people. It's like, you have a good point, you know? Yeah. It's now it's a power game is the reason, not, you know, if a black guy is standing around me constantly, like, you can't say it, it's like, bro, fuck you. I'll say what I want.
But just some, a word, you know.
Yeah.
No, I think, and in you know, Swedish, "niget"
yeah,
just means dark.
You shouldn't put too much power into a word. Yeah. But I could understand his perspective of we're constantly calling ourselves that. Like, how are we going to be a better society if we're running around being like, "Oh, I'm an error"? It's like you're not. No. So it's like, okay, that is an interesting perspective. You guys, yeah, you probably should stop fucking calling yourselves that.
I mean, at this point, it's so divided and in such a mess. I mean, what's the answer with all this? It's racial hodgepodge.
Look, it's an experiment, and it's playing out right now. And,
melting pot.
Exactly. And who pushed that idea, right? I mean, this was actually a way for, at that time, early Jewish immigrants to actually kind of hide behind other minorities. You know what I mean? This was an insurance policy, essentially, for them, taking focus off a small Jewish minority, and now it's Indians, it's Arabs, it's, you know, all these different groups, and now you have... It's just a reality of it. Every single civilization that's done this in the past have ended up falling because it's there's nothing to keep that together. You know?
No, that's why I talk to white nationalists, because there's some true aspects of that. It's just complicated with people that have been here for a while. And something I found interesting is I have big groups of Chinese friends and big groups of Afghan friends and other races. They all help their own people out first. White people don't do that. To me, I always get treated good because I'm in the fight work. I have like high status, I guess. So I'm always able to get connections from these people. But I see how they always jump. They're going to give the Afghan the job first. They're Afghan. The Chinese will do it. Mexicans don't do it quite to the same extent. They do a little bit. Jews do it to the most extreme extent. Black people do it. They'll give like discounts, Chinese discounts and Afghan discounts. It's like, and I've been around this because I'm close friends. Like, I get discounts. I know these people, but I watch them to a random Chinese. Can I get the Chinese discount? Oh, yeah, it'll give you 20% off for Chinese. Like, I literally see this stuff all the time in San Francisco.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're ethnocentric and they send up for their own.
But white people, we throw our own under the bus.
Yes.
Well, it's also not only that, there's laws for us against it, right? They're like, you're not allowed to do this. You're not allowed to have freedom of association. As you said, I mean, remember, was it Obama, the racist zip codes, as you said, like, let's find these areas and jam
a bunch of black people in a neighborhood with a bunch of all rich white people, to put a bunch of low income, you know, criminals, not all of them, but a lot of them will be criminals, and throw them in there to cause crime. So no, you're not allowed to live. Oh, you made money to be successful, but oh, sorry, you have to live around riffraff.
Yeah. Yep. Unsustainable.
People are having these conversations now, though, when they weren't before. People are finally being braver. I think you guys might have been doing it for a while. It's like more new to me, but
yeah.
I think honestly, there's a lot of, from my experience, there's a lot of non-white people who don't really care. They don't really think it's a big deal if white people want to support their own or live with their own. I feel like it's a lot of Jews, obviously. Yeah. And liberals who hate their own, self-hating white people that are usually the ones that block it the hardest and fight against it the hardest. Like, a lot of blacks, I don't give a shit, like, if we want to have our own intentional community or something, you know what I mean?
No, it's true. And that's like things that I've grown up around, lots of minorities, and most of them aren't anti-white. Some black groups are, but a lot of the anti-white stuff's being pushed. One of the biggest wake-up moments, my friend sent me a list of all the anti-white books. And then you realize all these white people that I hated, they weren't actually white. That was one of those moments when I'm like, wow. So, like, they can write books hating us, but white people can't write books hating them in a bookstore. I just want things to be even, you know? Yeah. I don't hate any group. I don't hate Jews. I have Jewish friends still. Less now, once having back. But,
except that one that just recently stabbed
me. I lost my best Jewish friend a bunch of years, but he put his tribe first. But it's like, I still have, I don't have hate towards people. I just want to be treated exactly the same. And it's like, stop trying to fucking stop stabbing people back. Stop trying to police what I can say. I can say whatever the fuck I want. No other group's trying to police what you say. Chinese, I can go and bash China. A bunch of Chinese people aren't going to go and try to get me canceled and get me fired. I can make fun of Chinese people. They're not going to try to get me fired. It's like, can make fun of Mexicans.
Not India. Not Indians, though, man. The Indians will come out full force.
Hey, was this the one you're thinking of?
Yeah, someone sent me that. Yeah, that was one of those what the fuck moments for me. I looked at it, I'm like, what? Because I hate self-hating whites. I despise and they disgust me. I hate them worse than anything.
Traitors.
And then I realized most of them aren't fucking white.
Yep, that's correct. Yep. What are you so obsessed with Jews for? Well, same with me. Like the Barbara Spector clip, you know what I mean? Like I saw that and like she's sitting in Stockholm, Sweden. I was like, we're going to replace all the Europeans. And,
Stockholm's
and
been,
we're helping. You know?
Stockholm, it's way not this very, not very Swedish anymore.
Oh, Gothenburg, Malmö, all the big cities.
It's crazy. Yeah, I've been through Sweden. Yep. It's crazy.
Yep. Insane. Totally insane. So
it should be mostly Swedish there. Like how is America a Swedish. Little more complicated, but like it's been a longer, but it's like, how would you go to Sweden and it's not Swedish anymore?
Yeah.
And I don't really know what happened there, but it's probably like, I could guess of how that happened.
Yeah, it's Barbara Spector, one of the early guys who did the debate articles.
Early life check on this.
Yeah, back in the 60s and 70s, they bought up a bunch of papers and they write articles.
Yes, Jake, she's Jewish.
It's like, you just know now without knowing. It's the point where it's just like, Yeah, just wow. Like, can I start pretend like I don't see this?
Yeah, David Schwartz, he wrote tons of debate articles. Well, Sweden is too homogenous. We have to bring in we have to help them, blah, blah, blah.
All this stuff. Yes, yes.
But they'd never be like Israel is. The same pushing this, they always push closed borders in Israel. That's what pisses me off.
Yeah, definitely.
The double standard, and you point that out, and you're an anti-Semite.
Yeah, like, remember Mayorkas? He was getting lectured about the border, and then he turned it to, like, my parents were Holocaust survivors. Yeah, sure, a lot of you guys survived. Mm-hmm. That's people's proof of the Holocaust. So my grandfather survived it. How dare you?
Like, a lot of survivors. Lots of survivors.
Did you hear your own word? Survive.
You know, what's interesting, though.
Well, he was a board member of HIAS. Remember?
Oh, yeah,
HIAS,
that's right.
Immigration Association. They congratulated him when he became, DHS head, right? Secretary.
Yeah, his job was to flood illegal immigrants into America, and he went from one day that switched over to head of our borders. It was insane. Yeah. So he was just trying to bring people in. Yeah. And he was doing, I mean, I don't have the specifics, but I had a guest on talking about child trafficking and the NGOs. They were bringing hundreds of thousands of children, 300. I didn't believe when he told me this. I'm like, I wanted to make sure it wasn't a quack. He sounded credible. I'm like, I can't ruin the credibility of my podcast. He sent me the State Department numbers of 350,000 missing immigrant children after they crossed the border.
Yeah.
Now, I'm sure you can explain for some of them, but 350,000?
Yeah, that's a lot.
Yeah.
That's like, what are they doing with them?
Yep. Definitely.
And it's these NGOs. And he's, I'm all, who runs them? He's all, you know who? He's like, I just figured out in the last, he's all, following you is one of the things that led me to start looking up early lives on these people, and all these NGOs are all ran by the same people.
Yeah, HIAS is a big one. J-Corps over in the UK. You have Israel Aid. They're bringing in migrants into Europe, right? That's funded by the foreign minister of Israel. I mean, that was found out. They took that down and said, oh, no, we're not doing this at all, right?
But they're not thinking
Jewish
this.
Family fund. I mean, it's just, the list goes on.
But they're not thinking this through, because the less white these areas get, the less they care about Israel, which is now we're seeing that backfire.
That's why they're rushing into the anti-Semitism laws, the shutting down the colleges. They've been pushing anti-white hate in the colleges. For 30 years, maybe longer, and all of a sudden Trump rushes to pass anti-Semitism or shut down the schools, cut funding, making anti-Semitism illegal. It's like, the First Amendment, right? I can hate whoever I want. And anti-Semitism isn't even hating Jews. It's just criticizing Israel.
Or their behavior.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Or saying a Jew might
don't
have
kill
dual
kids.
Loyalty.
You anti-Semitism.
I've literally been called that for not wanting dead kids. I don't know if you guys know who Miss Rachel is. She's like a kids program. She prayed for dead kids, and she even included the Jewish kids on there, and they freaked out, called her an anti-Semite. She's like, could we please stop hurting kids and stop anti-Semitism? Like, trying to get her canceled because she doesn't want dead kids. It's just so insane that it's true. But
did you see this?
I didn't watch that clip.
Let's play this. This is very interesting. Again, talking about the problem of Qatar is a problem, or you know, whatever the goddamn latest nation is. Like, China is a problem, right? Infiltration. Yeah, but look at this here.
You come after Miss Rachel, and I will come after you. Context is that there's a group called Stop Anti-Semitism that is accusing Miss Rachel of having transformed her platform into a, quote, amplifier of Hamas propaganda. This is the post that they're citing as anti-Semitic, which the message here is basically stop bombing babies. I mean, we are beyond parody at this point. They're also calling on Attorney General Pam Bondi to investigate Miss Rachel for being a foreign asset or whatever. Once again, just unhinged. But let's turn the table here, shall we, and find out who exactly is funding Stop Anti-Semitism. This next part actually took me a little while, because they've actually done a pretty good job of hiding who is behind that group, as they're not a 501c3 nonprofit, meaning they don't have to file any paperwork with the IRS. On their Wikipedia page, it just says that they are a privately funded American advocacy group focused on combating anti-Semitism by exposing individuals perceived by the group as anti-Semitic.
If we send it to Israel, then they probably fund it.
Yeah.
I know. The group was founded by this lady named Leora Rez, who is a refugee from the former Soviet Union. Remember her name?
Totally a Russian.
Back to her in a second. There's also this article from the Washington Post
kind
that reports
the Russian
that
mafia.
The Milstein Family Foundation lists Stop Anti-Semitism as a supported organization on their website. And Adam Milstein is Israeli, served in the IDF, and then moved to America in 1981. But that's kind of all that's been reported about this organization. That's all we knew up until
here we go.
Remember when I said Stop Anti-Semitism doesn't file any paperwork with the IRS? Well, I did a bunch more digging, and I found this fundraising campaign for Stop Anti-Semitism. And if we scroll to the bottom here, you'll see an organization called the Morona Leadership Foundation. That is their fiscal sponsor. And as you can see here, it is a 501c3 public charity. So I pulled up the 990 for the Morona Leadership Foundation. And lo and behold, listed as their top officer, Leora Rez. Same lady as before. And their top funder is an organization called the Impact Forum Foundation, which is a, quote, exclusive pro-Israel network of philanthropists to fight anti-Semitism, strengthen the state of Israel, and advance the U.S.-Israel alliance, a super American agenda. Scroll down a little bit more, and we find out that the Morona Family Foundation is tied to a bunch of other NGOs, which I'll read off for you, just a few of these for your sampling.
I think there's
such
our government
as the Central Fund of Israel.
Yep.
Jesus.
Israel 21C.
And he skipped over the Jewish Community Foundation, Radzinsa.
Israel Endowment.
They have so much funding is the problem. These groups all have so much funding.
Yeah.
Israel.
And so many groups.
Israel.
There's just thousands of them.
You get the point. This is a foreign agent, right, operating on behalf of a different country. And all of a sudden, this is not a problem, right?
Yeah.
This is fine.
Yeah, they're constantly they're constantly attacking me, but I've like ratioed them so many times they finally blocked me. That thing, we're mocking these people, but they have so much like institutional power behind them and money, like these SPLC, they have hundreds of millions of dollars and they're just these terrorist organizations. We need to get organizations to fight back against these people, to go after them the way they go after us with just the slimiest, most disgusting – we need to do the slimy, disgusting stuff back to them. I normally wouldn't want to fight these ways, but we need to get these – they're cowards. We need to get a little fear in these guys, getting them 100%. Fired, getting them harassed. I'm sick of these people.
Yeah. Problem is they own all the banks.
No, they have like so much power. They're losing
so much
the,
money and power. But then you're like, oh, they act like this. They're somehow they're the victim,
right?
When they're dominating everything.
What's
and have
old
all the
saying?
Money.
They cry out as they strike you.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. There was a couple other things obviously that unfolded here. I want to get your comments on. We had a debate.
I just want to ask: Did he have his beanie on when he took the picture of
Netanyahu? He definitely met with the beanie. He will never take that.
Freshly pressed beanie.
Yeah, that's funny. Yeah, so they're basically.
It was a secret meeting, by the way, and somehow they leaked it. You're not allowed to say who else
was
there.
Yeah, it's the Chatham rules, they call it.
Sounds kind of like treason to me.
Hey, apparently, Tim was one of the first ones that did mention it first, and other influencers or whatever, they initially denied it, and then they came out and they were like, we kind of met, and these were some of the. You're not supposedly not allowed to have direct quotes attributed to someone in the meeting, but you're allowed to generally talk about what was discussed. But anyway, obviously it was anti-Israel sentiment, it was Israel overall, anti-Semitism, as it says here, and all that kind of stuff, right? So they're panicking. They're in a PR crisis. They have been, obviously, more so since October 7th, but the reality is now that these younger generations are basically turning away from Israel. Zero Hedge had a piece on this, right? Basically, it's just boomers. They're like mostly supportive.
And they're going to be dying off here soon.
I don't know how these freaking boomers are still believing this bullshit. too many Holocaust movies.
You can show them all the evidence, but they're just so mind controlled. And I think it's that Christian Zionist hold. That's mostly it.
And they push so many films when we were growing up. The Holocaust. The Nazis are the most evil people ever. And then we see Israel doing everything they pretended they were right in front of our eyes, like live on video in front of the world. And there's this like you see where they stopped the ambulances and they went and executed all the 14 ambulances. They're shooting kids, shooting in the genitals, running over, crushing Rachel Corrie, American citizen, the bulldozer. They're just like the most evil imaginable people. Yeah. Everything they claim the Nazis were is what they are. And there's video evidence of this shit. We can watch it in real time if you're denying it.
Even the Nazis didn't do that stuff, okay?
So. Yeah. They'll throw you in jail for denying the Holocaust, but then they deny this genocide going on.
Yeah, if you talk about the official story, exactly. They're worse than the official story of what they say.
Pretty soon it'll be legal to question 40 beheaded babies.
I think it is, right? It's going to be added
to Israel it is.
The working definition of anti-Semitism.
Trump question is with Trump, are they going to go after podcasters like us for criticizing Israel? Like, how's this going to unfold?
No, they might try to use it to shut us down, hopefully not arrest us. It's like, it's going to be hard, though, because there's so many people waking up. It won't be easy, but they're definitely talking about it for sure. They're having their conversations with Trump, and Trump's definitely listening because you can see he just do you see he pointed someone in some position today, anti-Semitism czar or something. He's from that weird
he's an Israeli
church. He's from and there's that weird
Chabad Lubavitch.
Yeah, I think they're the tunnel people.
Yeah, they went to the actually there's an interesting connection here, right? Lutnick, the commerce secretary. He's the one who took Trump there. He was there with Ben Shapiro. They're praying over the Rebbe's grave and all that stuff. This is in Queens. The headquarters of Chabad was in Ukraine, actually. But anyway, they had a big piece there. But it was actually on the way towards the Rebbe's grave where Lutnick proposed to Trump that we're going to reach out to Elon and bring him aboard, right? Because he's been a kind of a big part of this. This ties into the PayPal mafia. I don't want to go on a whole rant here. I cover this all the time. But like, there's tons of these Silicon Valley ex-PayPal people who have basically sunk their teeth into the administration, and they're pushing everything from AI to all this anti-Semitism stuff. Mm-hmm. You have people like Alex Karp from Palantir. Sam Altman was kind of there in the White House for this, what was it, Project Stargate, right, where Larry Ellison was there. Like, all these people that have, like, totally, I believe, ulterior motives.
Oh, yeah, right? You think?
Yeah, no, we know it.
There was that whistleblower that was murdered with the, I think that was the Sam Altman's company, right?
Yeah, it was one that jumped ship or something.
I can't remember this. The guy you just had on that was breaking down, he covered it. What was that guy's name that was covering Miss Rachel? He's supposed to come on my podcast. He does great stuff.
James Lee, that guy?
Yeah, James Lee. It's too long to get into now because I can't remember the details, but it seems like they killed a whistleblower.
It wouldn't be the first time.
So. You got to watch the stuff. It's kind of a long death, but it looks pretty damning.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah.
He was whistleblowing on something that OpenAI or OpenAI, that's the one that Sam Altman's behind, was doing, and then all of a sudden he ended up murdered.
That's right. Yeah, I do remember. I don't remember the details, but I remember hearing about that.
Yeah, of course I don't watch details, but that James Lee did a really good breakdown of it.
So I can pull that
James
up
Lee, that's his name, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he does good work.
So there's, this is one of the hottest things right now because, like, they're in panic mode. They're trying to decide, how do we do this with the PR campaign? They're trying to, you've seen this kind of, inorganic way that they've reached out to influencers, specific accounts, right?
Lots of influencers.
And they might have kind of, maybe not being outspoken or overtly critical, but nothing, maybe neutral, something in the past. And all of a sudden, they start this Israeli hate must end. And they start going off, and you realize it's actually easier to control individual small nodes of influencers than entire news organizations like they have in the past. Because the mainstream media has largely discredited itself. I mean, they did that over time.
And it's boring as hell. Who watches that?
They're a joke now.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's interesting, though, right? That the legitimacy now is like you having a kind of a small scale, like a podcast, or you have vertical video stuff. And this is why you see BBC doing like, oh, we're just doing a podcast like you guys. It's funded to the millions.
We're one of you guys now.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
And unfortunately, there's a lot of influencers that they could just be bought.
No, tons of
money.
They're putting the same tweets out. Yeah, people that sell their souls for money. There's more to money than life. Of course, I want to make money, but these people are just disgusting. Yeah. I was so disgusted after October 7th when I realized that I thought I was part of the free speech, anti-war right, and then I go, oh, these people are full of shit, a bunch of paid actors.
They're the new media now. Wasn't that what the comment is, right?
Yeah, we are the media now, and they're all doing the same talking points.
Exactly. Yeah, you are. You are the
media. But there's people like us that are authentic, and we're kind of destroying those people in the information war.
This is really small, but this was one example people did of like, I mean, this is a mundane topic about egg prices and gas prices
it's
being
all
down.
It's the exact same tweets. Yeah.
We've seen the other cases, too, like just slightly reworded. Remember that? There was this the movie about the Holocaust. It was some Jewish free tickets for Nazis.
The Holocaust.
And legally, you have to pay. If you're doing paid things, you're supposed to say that, and none of them did.
Interesting.
So, yeah, Jake, I saw on your ex, you said, this is the second gay Jew to attack me in 2 days. We should talk about one of these gay Jews, because that's all the rage right now.
Yeah, which one? Douglas Murray. I don't know who this guy is, but someone sent me some like pompous little thing with Joe Rogan when he was like talking shit. And Dave
Smith, he's a gay guy who's kind of, he's anti-woke, but he's married to a Jewish guy.
Has he bought any children yet? Probably.
I'm sure that's coming.
No, he's by boys.
Sure. Yes. Disgusting.
Yeah, Dave Smith defended me. He's a Jew. And Joe Rogan said something I didn't like, but I actually talked to him and cleared it up.
They're trying to act. I don't even know if we need to play clips, but they were trying to act like Doug Murray, kind of like a lot of these Israeli accounts.
It was all this talking points. Like, I didn't even. I watched 30 seconds. And I'm like, oh my God, I want to just choke this guy. There's no way he won.
I don't think Dave made some good points. I think the mistake that, well, you know, again, I don't know what Dave Smith, I'm coming down on him, but like, I don't know, he's Jewish. Does he have a dog in the fight?
I've known Dave for a while. I like him. He's done my podcast. He's constantly attacked for it, and he never thrown me under the bus. He's always defended me, at least kind of. So it's I'm not going to not respect the guy for that, he won't back down and be like, oh, I shouldn't have done Jake's podcast. He won't call me an anti-Semite. He won't so they're always trying to get him to like bash me, and he's never done that. So I respect a man that I'm not going to not respect a guy that's done that. And, you know, I think he's been propagized from a young age. So he's like, I think he said they asked about the Holocaust. He's like, well, maybe Jake went a little too far there. But it's like, he's been from a young age, he's been told this is true. I'm not gonna dislike the guy. I'll happily have conversations with him if he wants to sit down and have
a family conversation.
I will tell him how I got to the point I got. He can tell me why he thinks I'm wrong.
I'm just saying for the sake of the discussion or where the topic needs to go, this is fine. It is what it is. But I'm saying you can. I think if Douglas Murray was approached by someone who understands the religious backdrop a little bit more as well. I'm not saying Dave didn't bring that
all. Yeah.
But like you have a whole theological, religious things that ties into this, right?
Yeah. Where like, you know, you're right.
You're losing it.
I think Dave's heart's in the right place. He's a comedian first, and now he's really seen what Israel's done. He thinks it's disgusting. I think he legitimately believes it's disgusting. But he's not going to like bash like Judaism and stuff. And it's like, I can understand.
No, that's what I'm saying. Exactly. I'm not expecting him to. I'm just saying for the sake of like debating Douglas Murray on the issue, like if you had someone who actually could tie in, hey, look, they're trying to build a third temple. They want to like a greater. I mean, maybe
like Adam Green.
What
are your thoughts on Adam Green? I was supposed to my podcast, but then he like started talking shit on me, and then we talked again for a second. Well, we're gonna do
you should,
it.
You should reach out to him.
He's like, Jake's avoided me, blah blah blah.
No, podcast. We'll talk to him. You should have him.
The thing was, I was
let's mediate. Let's mediate. We'll try to mediate that. He's extremely knowledgeable.
Such a good researcher.
He's extremely knowledgeable.
Jake's a good guy. Adam's a good guy.
I gave him my phone number, and he said, Jake won't let me on my podcast. Like, bro, you could have texted me. I'm fucking busy. Because I did say, hey, I'll have you on in like 2 months or something, and I didn't respond for like 4 or 5 months. It's because I get busy. I have lots. Thankfully, my podcast is getting big, and people are constantly hitting me up. But he didn't text me like, hey, let's book a date. And then he's just like, Jake won't have me on. He's like, I'm going to become a coward.
It's a small details. We'll mediate.
I just don't want the guy like disrespect. I don't want people to disrespect me. If he calls me and like talks, I just don't.
I don't know all the details, but we'll try to mediate that in some way. But anyway, the point is,
as long as he's respectful for me, he'll do something. I like how he attacked me.
He will be.
He will be.
He's a great guy.
I don't want a guest who you have on and he attacks you.
No. He's not. Adam's listening, right?
Shout out to Adam. Very knowledgeable.
I'll let him explain his stuff, but he also can't like just totally bash my face.
You can explain yourself.
But he can't be like, oh, these dumbass.
He can do that, I guess.
If he sits down with you,
he's not going to do this.
He can do that, actually. I can't tell someone what they can and can't say. I just say it's not the most.
You just keep it on the research.
Helpful if he does it that way.
But anyway, so back to the point there. It would be very interesting to hear, and it's interesting to see that Joe Rogan is kind of moving a little bit in this direction, right? Mm-hmm. He realizes you got to kind of address this. What do you think? Is he going to continue to evolve on some of these issues?
I think he's going to evolve. You know, I don't want to put words in his mouth. Like, Joe's been a friend of 20 years. I like him. A great dude. I have been really disappointed on the Palestine position and not pushing a little harder, but I talked to him for the first time yesterday in a while, and I'm glad I did because it's like, you realize, like, just because I just call your friends and talk to them or text them and stuff. So it's I think his heart's in the right place. It's just he's in a tricky situation. I don't want to say what his positions are. I can't say for, you know, he wasn't real clear, but we talked for a while. And
yeah, well, with a $100 million Spotify contract, I would assume there's maybe some limitations.
Come on, there's a point. That's what I don't get.
I'm saying he might literally be restricted. Like, you can't.
I know,
talk,
but there's a point where it's like, how much money do you need? Let's just make the jump and go where the truth.
Joe. I was just really disappointed in him. Last time I was awesome, I didn't even hit him up because I was disappointed. And I realized, you know what? I was being childish. It's like, this guy's been a friend for 20 years. I need to, like, you know, reach out and talk to him. I hope, you know, maybe nudge him in the right direction.
Yeah.
But here's Doug Murray, right? He's married to a Jewish guy, right? So, again, he has a dog, obviously, in the fight. It's only Muslims in Europe. That's
it's all he does is Jewish guy bashing Muslims. That's but you can't do it the opposite way.
No, exactly. And of course, again, that's like,
God, he looks disgusting.
They're seeing what's happening in Europe, and same thing there. So from a different angle, right? Again, after October 7th, you saw all these mass protests out, and personally, that doesn't belong in Europe, right? Mm. It's, if you have your Middle East issues,
they flooded them there.
But still, it is what it is now, and I think they see that, and all of a sudden you have this like kind of pivot where they're like, oh shit, what do we do? All of a sudden, certain types of immigration becomes a problem. For example, right? Like the U.S. now, they're looking now through people's social media accounts.
You could bash America, but not Israel.
Exactly, you can burn American flags, no problem.
Isn't that insane? Just purely insane. America first.
Yeah.
Yay, Trump.
Bullshit. Total bullshit. No, he's a Shabbos goy. He's turning to that. He was even if he had.
I used to like him, but like, yeah, come on, if you look at this guy and can't say he's a pathetic joke now, it's like people get mad when I say that. How dare you attack Trump? It's like the guy's a clown. He's like, if you can't see it at this point, yeah, he's probably better than Kamala Harris, but it's just his Israeli dick sucking is just beyond embarrassing.
I think it's he might have had, you know, to a certain extent, maybe decent gut instinct at some point, but then when you take $100 million from like Miriam Adelson,
yep. And he got a couple hundred million from other ways, but yeah, $100 million right from there. And
she
literally served an IDF. So an IDF soldier gave him $100 million.
Yeah.
Why can't you just take the money and say thanks? I'm gonna go do what I'm gonna do.
You know how bad of traitors these people are, though.
They took
Jonathan Pollard, the worst spy in American history. Yeah. Trump's top donor took him right after they fought to get him out of prison on their own private plane and flew him straight to Israel for a hero's welcome by Benjamin Netanyahu. Mm-hmm.
Yep, that's right.
This is Israel for us. This guy was a traitor. He sold all of our worst secrets to Israel, like everything. He sold them. I think they even sold the two secrets to Russia, China.
Soviet Union. Mm-hmm. Pollard. He went down on his knees, kissed the ground. He's finally home. Again, see the problem with it. Like now you have an ethnic allegiance to another group, right? And I think this is largely true for everyone, basically excluding whites, it seems like, you know. But anyway, yeah, it was the agent that was second under, kind of in under Pollard. Mm. He was directly pardoned. I forget the details, Jesus. But Pollard's time was basically up, I believe, or something like that. So he didn't, apparently, to be factually correct, he didn't technically pardon him, but his time was up. He flew on, his private plane to Israel. Goes down, kisses the ground, welcome back, and all that stuff, right? And then he did pardon people around Pollard that basically had been part of, catching him.
Do you know Bill Clinton, Monica Lewinsky? That was a setup by Netanyahu to try to get Bill Clinton to pardon Jonathan Pollard. But Clinton was going to do it, but he couldn't because I don't remember who he had around him, but all the people in the CIA is around him like, you can't do that. And so that's when the Lewinsky thing, they leaked it to the Drudge Report, owned by a Jew. That's what blew up Monica Lewinsky, Jewish, Drudge Report, Jewish. So it's all linked to Mossad. Like, no one knows that. But there's news reports, there's books showing this.
Jeez. Yep. Good stuff. So, yes, we have the idea that the most people are negatively, their negative views on Israel.
Caring less about
it. It's great that it's shifted by a good amount. It sounds like a little, but it's like, what was it from like 40-something to 53% are negative Israel? Now, that's huge in 2 years.
And I find, too, even around here, like a lot of white working class dudes, like they're just busy living and surviving. Mm. They don't give a shit about Israel and anti-Semitism, you know?
Right, exactly.
And they're sick of hearing about it because it's high inflation, it's expensive. You know, food is like crazy
just
money.
Crazy.
It's like they just want to live. They don't care about this mythical anti-Semitism.
No, things are tough right now. Like, I do pretty well, and I go to the grocery store, and I'm like, whoa, do I want to buy this? So it's like if you're like on a lower middle class with like kids to feed, you know, it's like it's tough out there for people. And people are fed up, and then what do they do? Arrest us for anti-Semitism. And you have Kennedy tweeting, anti-Semitism is a health crisis. Like, shut the fuck up.
What do they have on this guy? Obviously.
I think they got something really bad because
it's an Epstein link there.
No, because his wife was really good friends with Ghislaine Maxwell.
That's right.
She hung herself, but her hands were in the noose. And then she was buried. He fought to get the body buried, but then after he buried it, he had a crew illegally come in, dig the body up, and move it. Like, you don't dig up bodies without this is like a big, big deal. I don't know how the news cover it.
I know.
Have you ever heard of anyone just digging up a body?
No, it'd be.
I don't know anyone's ever done
it. And not getting charged for it. Yeah.
Like it's completely. Yeah,
she found his diary, and he was screwing around like crazy.
But what possible reason would you just dig her body up for? To hide some kind of evidence?
Maybe you killed her because you killed her.
Exactly.
Some weird ritual.
So it seems like to me, like you just don't. Like I even asked Grok. So like, what's the people that have dug up bodies? And he gave three or four examples of with permits. He's like, this is the only one I can find without permit, other than a couple grave robbers.
Yeah.
It's like, so yes, this is completely heard of. I can't find any other cases in American history of someone doing this.
Yeah.
So something, and that happens to be Lane Maxwell's friend. And now he's tweeting about anti-Semitism being our health crisis.
Yes.
And pushing vaccines now.
Yep.
Yeah, mRNA is back in business, apparently.
But Tulsi Gabbard, too. She's flip-flopped as well.
You met her, right?
I'm friends with her. I have her cell phone number.
So what the hell? Did you ask her, like, hey girl, what's up?
I don't even know what to say. What am I going to say? It's like...
Why are you supporting Israel?
Maybe I will reach out at some point. You know, like you said, sometimes you reach out to a friend, reach out to Joe. It was very helpful. You know, have a conversation. So maybe at some point I'll reach out. But I just think you're in the government. I don't think she really can have those conversations.
I think there's something, in the, you know, they call it the weight of the office. Oh, this is very official. You know, tighten your tie. And like, look, you, Houthis are the enemies, okay? You're going to, and she has to say flip flop. You know what I mean?
I've hung out with her multiple times. So it's just like, to me, seeing this, it's just like, I don't even know. It's like, what do you do when you're someone you hang out with you thought was a friend and you're...
They're briefed? Yeah. They're told, like, this is what you do now?
No, it's just when you see it, it's just like, well,
It's the permanent government, right? These are the policies of the... it's not you coming into an environment where you're free to... You're coming into an environment that will lock you into its already existing policies. That's how it operates. And even... Which shows you that it's impossible to get a top-down solution, I think. It's so corrupt. It's so out of it. I mean, Trump's first administration, right? He comes in, put a bunch of bad people in place, obviously. And this time it felt like, okay, at least he's trying with some of the picks, right? I was surprised that, like, Cash Patel was approved. I was surprised that Tulsi Gabbard were approved. RFK. All of them.
I already knew he was corrupt, but a lot of people was like, wow, RFK is good. A lot of my friends.
Yeah, but it's just about health. He's not going to get political. Oh, yeah. Look at all that.
Anti-Semitism is our top health crisis. And obviously getting rid of vaccines would be anti-Semitic, too.
I mean, how many pictures are there with him and Shmuley? Like, how is this guy everywhere? This guy
around by Shmuley?
This guy seems insane, you know? He seems just totally out of his mind, and yet he's everywhere in all these elitist big parties and hanging out with kings and world leaders. I was like, what is going on?
You know, he has some serious power. I think he's some serious mafia. I think he's some kind of gun running connections. I don't know the details behind that. This is like a serious powerful man. Some people think he killed Michael Jackson. Like, the guy's clearly... He's a clown, but he has power somewhere.
Yeah.
Someone's got some power behind him.
Remember this? He's acting like this?
No, he's just a filthy, disgusting...
He embraced the meme.
Look,
he drives up anti-Semitism looking at that guy.
Well, okay, so that's my conspiracy here a little bit, right? With Twitter or X, right? You got more freedom of speech. Obviously, a lot of problems there, but like... What if this is meant to drive people out of the woodwork, right? Let's build profiles on people. Let's map and track and find out. And like, you know, they hid the likes, right? So that now people feel more comfortable liking things that they might otherwise not have, right? There's all these interesting things.
Can you imagine being too cowardly to hit a like? Being a grown man? People just tell me that. Man, I can't like your tweets. Like, you're a grown man. You're telling me you can't like my fucking tweets. Like, how are you not embarrassed to say this
and
to me?
And it's even private now. Yeah. Like,
that's what I'm saying. It's not.
Right? Yeah, they still have it.
Well, they still have it.
That's the thing. That's what I'm saying. Publicly, PayPal Mafia, Elon Musk, Silicon Valley, the tech bros. Like, this whole connection is there, and they're working
together.
We're
100% being tracked. Yeah, for 100%.
What do you think about this whole Elon thing? Where do you think he lands on all this?
I go back and forth.
Yeah, because he goes back and
forth. Just like him,
I go back and forth. He might be the Antichrist, or hopefully he's a good dude trying to help us. It is weird how many companies he runs, like why he's tweeting all day and playing video games and has like 12 babies mamas. And
he's a front man.
And Ashley St. Clair, like, dude, you're the richest man in the world, and Ashley St. Clair?
And she fucked up by calling him out. He got her money cut off. She was living in like a $40,000 a month apartment in Manhattan.
I thought she was getting like $500,000.
Yeah, and this was before the DNA test. He was doing this before there was even a DNA test to know it was his own kid.
It might be someone else's.
Well, we'll see how this plays out, obviously, but to expect that just because the narrative is shifting a little bit for them to like give up and just like,
they're not going to give up.
In fact, I think we're seeing this with Iran and all this stuff, right? Now, if they're losing this amount of support, their window of opportunity is closing, and they know that. And when the animal is cornered, it starts fucking freaking out. You know what I mean? And so I think they're going to lash out.
Yeah, it's a little scary. I can see maybe a mass flag terrorist attack or trying to arrest us. If they killed some of us, I don't think it would do any good at this point. The information's out. People are like, you're going to get killed. And I'm like, I don't think that would really accomplish anything for them.
Yeah. The real reason for Netanyahu's U.S. visit was Iran, says former Israeli ambassador to the U.S., right? Recent announcement of the defense budget being increased to $1 trillion now. I mean, so Doge is saving a little bit of money, right? When this is what we said. What are they going to spend it on? Israel? No, maybe not directly, but they're going into the defense budget. And by the way, let's play a clip here. Pete Hegseth, right? The pick for the DOD. Obviously, he was meeting with, this is, we've shown this before, but I haven't played the clip, actually. He was meeting with Rabbi Chaim Rishman, the U.S.-born Israeli rabbi who leads the Temple Institute, which is dedicated to destroying the Dome of the Rock and building a temple over its ruins to serve as the seat of Greater Israel's genocidal theocracy.
I don't think people realize how crazy this is. A lot of people don't realize. Like, this is like trying to kick off World War III. They're trying to bring back the Antichrist.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to rule the world from. This is in their books, right? I mean,
no, they're actually trying to do it. They actually believe this. Tear it down. Mm-hmm. That's going to start war there. They're trying to usher in the Antichrist.
Yep.
And the Christians are like cheering it on.
Yeah.
Here's Hegseth at the King David Hotel. I forget when the clip is from. He looks a little bit younger, but not too many years ago. Listen to this.
And today, Jennifer and I and others had a chance to go see the Western Wall of the Temple Mount, the Western Wall tunnels. So much of the old
tunnels,
city.
Tunnels, shout
out. And as you stand there, you can't help but behold the miracle before you. And it got me thinking about another
dirty
miracle
wall. I've been there.
That I hope all of you.
I was going to ask, have you been to Israel? I've been there too.
It's embarrassing that I've been to that dirty little wall.
What did you think of it?
Did you hump it?
That was a boring little fucking wall. I'm like, why are we here? Why did you bring me here?
I was a teenager and I went with my family.
Are you Jewish? Did you go on birthright? You're all going to have 4chan threads on you.
And I just was like, these people are insane. They're like hitting their head. They're hitting their head on this wall. Like, what is going on? And then some old, like, dirty pervert Jew told my mom, your daughter needs to cover up her shoulder because men are lusting for her shoulder.
Fucking pervert.
I was like wearing a tank. I was 15 years old or something. Yeah.
Drew's all sucked.
Lucky you weren't three because that's permissible.
Yeah. And my mom just started going off on this guy, you know, and then she was surrounded by, like, you know, 15 Jews, like, Jesus, in her face.
Start spitting on you because you're Christian, maybe.
Oh,
yeah, no, Jerusalem sucked.
God. And Christians don't realize, like, they love Israel, but they cannot proselytize there. Like, you cannot, as a Christian.
Yeah, this is not the same Israel from the Bible. It's like, this is the Jewish banking Israel that was created in the 1940s and or 20s, 30s, and 40s. It's not the freaking Israel from the Bible.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they're playing it. Even if you go into nomenclature and try to dissect what it is and what's not, it's what they have there is what they're using, and they're interlinked to manifest it, right? To create it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, sure, it matters for the sake of accuracy and facts, but they're
it's all fairy tales as far as I'm concerned.
Well, yeah, of course. Well, Yahweh comes down. He's the real estate agent. He's like, sure, man, you guys can totally have this stretch of land from here to there. And then now you have people in power. It's my point. Let's finish
my
that
God,
clip.
My God, who told us to clip our foreskins.
Yeah, God
is
gave
the one
me that land. It's like, yeah, go fuck off.
And then you have all this supporter base, right, of all these people of European ethnicity, which technically should have no allegiance to this land. This is not your sacred. It has nothing to do with you. And they're just hardcore Zionists.
Yes.
Right?
Zionists are so stupid. I can't handle them.
Let's finish the clip.
Don't see too far away. Because 1917 was a miracle. 1948 was a miracle. 1967 was a miracle. 2017, the Declaration of
Liberty?
Jerusalem as the capital was a miracle. And there's no reason why the miracle of the reestablishment of the temple on the Temple Mount is not possible.
There we go. Yep.
It was going to cause a massive war in the Middle East.
That's your talking point. At this point,
they're kind of cut the Middle East.
I don't think they will. This is what's so bizarre about it. I thought after October, holy shit, you know. They put the black flag up on one of their, you know, this is it. And nothing happened. Jordan is compromised. Egypt is compromised. Saudi Arabia is in their pockets.
We paid them billions of dollars. Because when Trump goes, I'm cutting off all foreign aid, he didn't cut off to Israel
or
Egypt and Jordan because they pay them to, like, not fight with Israel.
Friendly, exactly. Yep. So all that, the total budget, right? What is it to Israel alone is like almost a quarter of $1 trillion.
It's insane.
You get to include Egypt for that. You get to include, Jordan, other countries.
And then you could add the Iraq war. You could add the Afghanistan war, probably. Yep. The Sackler family needed that opium.
Yeah, I mean, these are neoconservative wars, and, you know, the Israel lobby, AIPAC, all these organizations.
Look who the neocons are.
Neocons, they're primarily Jewish, right? It's an ethnic, and this is what people, again, so I'm saying, you cannot leave the religious aspect out of this. That is a vital component. This is not just Netanyahu. Like, if he's out tomorrow, this is not going to change.
Oh, no, I think it's, like, might get worse without him.
Exactly, that's true. That is true.
Yeah, it's a lot of these guys are atheists, though. So it's like a religious, secular.
I don't buy that, though. See, it's like Greenblatt said, where he said, I mean, I know that he's talking for all Jews or whatever, but I think he's correct. He said, like, 99% of all Jews, they pray to Zionism is intricately tied
into. Zionism is a religion, I think, more than, like, Judaism.
They're inseparable.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. That's the key, right? Zionism, that is the aspiration of mentioned in the Bible, building the temple on Mount Zion, right? You know, this is You can't, if you exclude that, you're going to miss half of it. And then you have, yes, you have, even what they, even if they personally believe this, you have the ethnic component where they will feel an allegiance to their people, and they will, even if it's subconsciously, support their own and their own endeavors.
That's why even the majority of leftist Jews are like, oh, two-state solution, right?
Yeah.
They still don't budge. And like, no, that's Palestinian land or whatever.
As a Jew, I'll give them, they always put themselves first. So if you're a Jew, you could argue that's a good thing. But the problem is, if it's a separate country and they're manipulating it, it's not a good thing for the country you're living in. Because I realized, like, you know, someone who I thought was one of my best friends stabbed me in the back for random Jews.
Yeah.
So
right.
Like, oh,
so he took
always,
his own side.
So a lot of Jews will always put Jews over anyone else. They put Israel over America, which is wild. Which I knew that I should have stopped being friends with him when I realized he was Israel over America. That should have been the call, you know. It's like you're a traitor. But it's like, I told him, like, oh, it's weird you're putting Israel over your own country. But they look at Israel as their country, even though they live here. Yeah. I mean, not all of them, but a lot of them.
Majority
a
of
lot
them.
Of them.
Yeah. There's
that's the official definition of anti-Semitism, saying that.
That's right.
There you go.
That's why I stopped saying I'm not an anti-Semite.
it's a handful of people you can point to. They're like, well, like a normal Norman Finkelstein you can point to.
Dave Smith,
maybe. I'm not
on
sure.
On one hand, on really.
Gilad Atzman, Israel Shamir has been fairly good on these things. There's a few others.
The Truth About Auschwitz guy.
What about the Fisher guy, the chess player? He's been, hasn't
Bobby
he
Fisher? Very, Bobby Fisher. I love Bobby Fisher. He's awesome.
He's still alive, right? Isn't he?
No, I think he died. I was trying to get my podcast. I made a shirt in my store for Bobby Fisher. He's my favorite Jew.
You find a couple. But, I mean, at some point then you realize kind of like, okay, statistically speaking, should you take that risk, kind of thing, right? It's so astronomically imbalanced, the statistics that, like, you now you have again. What I'm saying is, you can extend this to other ethnic groups as well. Look at that recruitment office for the U.S. military in California. I forget, it was like Cordoba or whatever it was, something like that. It's all Chinese people. Yeah. Everyone was speaking Chinese. The signs were in Chinese. Like, how do you know that these people don't have an allegiance to a different country? Like,
if they're speaking Chinese, then it's different. I think when they've been here for a while, most of them come allegiance to America. But that situation is different. Yeah, that's insane.
There's other cases like that.
Black people, I noticed, they almost always take it for the black person. It'll be a criminal that does something, and they automatically jump to his side. And I try to look at everything individually. And you start seeing this, it's like, okay, maybe white people have to work together a little more. But it'll be like the opposite. We go against each other, like with the Derek Chauvin. Like, I'm an expert on choking. I know all about choking. And I could tell you, I don't think I was a good cop. I think he was an asshole, but that did not choke him. You have to choke the carotid artery, which is right here. His knee was right there. You cannot choke something here. It has to be across there.
Yeah.
That's something else I was disappointed with Joe Rogan. He kept saying he choked him. It's like, Joe Rogan studied jiu-jitsu. It's like, that was not how you choke someone. His defense didn't want to win. They could have brought 10 jiu-jitsu people like me and explained how chokes.
Yeah, what the heck?
And shown, I think they gave him away. I could have shown, and I think the guy's probably an asshole, Derek Chauvin. I don't think it was a good police work to put him either.
But he didn't kill him.
That was not a choke.
Well, the official autopsy report was out. He died of an overdose. Yeah. I mean, that's
I think he probably took a bunch right there. And
he may have been an asshole, but George wasn't a saint.
No, exactly. Saint George, Robin Pringle.
Well, a lot of cops are assholes.
Do you remember they did used to work at the same bar together?
That's weird.
There's actually a link between them. That's also weird. They're like, you know, the stars, what do you call it? They crossed lines again, you know? Like
something weird, yeah.
And then a whole goddamn country exploded.
Two shitty people, but like he definitely didn't deserve a second degree murder, manslaughter at best.
No,
definitely not. Yeah, there's been some
rumors.
But
they gave him away because they knew the country would burn.
Yeah, exactly. Well, they used it. They haven't been able to kind of... Yeah, there were some that Trump is a fascist protest here. Was it last weekend or something like that? A bunch of retards were out to like try to protest.
I wish he was like Hitler. But there were some young kids that were there that were complaining that it was just all these old people that are, you know, boomers and over 30.
Yeah, they're talking like it's the 60s. You know, it's like, yeah, well, it shows you the boomer has more fight than the zoomer, I guess. That's embarrassing.
Right, yeah.
But maybe they're more conservative. I don't know.
I mean, so what happens when the boomer dies off? Yeah, it's going to become less Zionist, but it will also be less white. Right?
Yeah.
That's what's crazy. They're flooding people in. Like, I'm not a white nationalist, but I don't want the country to become any less white. I would like to become more white. So it's like, that's why we need to cut off
all the founding stock.
I mean,
that's what made the country what it is, right? Mm-hmm. You eradicate that. It's no longer that country. It's pretty basic, right?
Yeah, mostly, European white country. And the fact that people are trying purposely to make that not the case is insane.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, because it was okay when it was just like, okay, you had some pockets and they were kind of did their thing and they were there. It wasn't a big thing. You didn't notice it too much. But now you notice it. Everyone notices it everywhere. In the smallest little farming communities, they notice it.
You go to a lot of these towns and they're speaking Spanish, not English to you.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, I get along with all of these races and stuff, but it's still, it's America. She's speaking English. You shouldn't go to a place where you feel out of place.
Yeah,
well, they're doing it. It's happening. Do you want to fire off a couple of the super chats right there a little bit? I know. Yes, we had a slight schedule change. Jake does have another commitment here a little bit, so we're going to keep it a little bit shorter than usual today. But I thought we can squeeze in a couple of more minutes here before we round off. So,
Arctic Wolf, thank you so much. Says happy Friday, guys. Great thread this week on pagan culture, Lana. Really informative. Thank you. As a Christian, I have no issues with the way someone wants to practice their spirituality. I don't view any of it as evil or satanic. The most important thing is that we all stick together and keep our folk first. Hope you guys have a great weekend. Looking forward to a great show with Jake Shields. I've been excited for this one. Awesome. Yes, absolutely. Folk first.
Explain paganism real quick.
Native European spirituality, pre-Christian traditions of our people going back, well, pick a date. We don't know how far back, but definitely 4,000 or 5,000 years ago, but probably further back than that.
Yeah, so
it's what we had before Christianity was, again, it was a top-down decision-making. It was politics weaved into it. It was a bunch of different reasons. But anyway, it's basically our native spiritual traditions.
Do you have similar opinions of Adam Green on the Bible and all that?
Yeah, I mean, so I have a different approach to it, right? So I criticize the Christian institution as opposed to the Christian, and you know, you get shit from both sides for like not being hard enough to
So you can, you know, we try and bridge and then
exactly.
I mean, my parents are Christians and they're incredibly based.
That's why I don't want to push like hate on Christian when most of them are good people pushing good things.
Sure. Just,
like, I'm trying to bring them. So it gets tricky. And then I get along with Muslims too. And I love hate Muslims. I don't want to bring a bunch more Muslims into America. I think for the most part, America's been okay with them because we don't have, I guess, like Dearborn and stuff's not that way. And Europe's not that way. But like in the Bay Area and stuff, they've integrated really well. Mm-hmm. But we haven't, too many.
We have an Odeo-Christian heritage, Odin-Christian heritage, not a Judeo.
Yeah, right.
Christian.
I mean, look, when you're dealing with faith and belief and stuff, it's, you're not going to, for the most part, reach people with reason and rash. You know, like
religion is a hot topic. That's why I mostly avoid it.
You're supposed to not talk about religion or politics at dinner.
I love talking about politics, but I'm not real strong opinions about religions.
We're spiritual people. We're open.
It's true that I think it should be discussed in terms of has it been a net positive or a net negative? Like, look at how. Even if people out there are Christian and they're not supportive of Zionism or whatever, well, that's what it's turned into, kind of thing, right? It's turned into a mechanism for just like, you know, globalism and all these endeavors. Now, there's an anti-white, you know, thread within the established religious Zionist structure, right? Thing. You can look at what the Pope is doing with bringing in migrants. You can look at some of these liberal cardinal, liberal Lutheran priests and pastors.
Turn the other cheek, just kind of take the abuse.
That was like taken out of context. I just realized because like, I didn't realize that Jesus had built a whip and like attacked the moneylenders.
Well, there's mixed messages in the Bible.
I think it was a sign of disrespect back in the times. So it wasn't like a pacifist because he wasn't a pacifist. He attacked the moneylenders.
Yeah.
Premeditated.
Well, the point is, I think it was an internal religious dispute within Judaism, right? He was a messianic. He was a radical revolutionary within Judaism. They wanted to reform it. There was actually a number of different competing new versions of Judaism at that time. And there, you got to put it in historical context, what had happened with the Roman Empire, the destruction of the Second Temple, like all these things, right, that plays into it, that this was like a, not just a spiritual thing, but it was also a political move. Like, what do we do? How do we reform in order to survive? Do we need to change behavior? Anyway, this is so long. Like, what you can
know, right? That, but, you know. Such a topic.
And I did a whole thread recently. I did a whole thread recently on, you know, what paganism means to me, because there is a resurgence of that. And I think there's a lot of miscommunication and disinformation about what it means. People think it's like some Wiccan witch, you know, liberal purple hair lady, cat lady.
That's typically what you think with pagans. That's why I was curious.
Yeah, no. I mean, way back. Most of our holidays, our traditions come from pre-Christian. The days of the week, the names of the planets, the days of the month. I mean, people forget about like Greco-Roman civilization, you know, the beginning of Western civilization.
Rome was pagan for 1,000 years before it turns to Christianity, right? 325 or whatever official date is, and
thousands of years before.
And then, like 80 years later, the Goths basically got him. You know, like it's an interesting historical trajectory there. And again, what the political reasons were and all that, and the top down kind of, it would be like saying, you know, well, pagans converted to Christianity, so therefore, kind of, they lost. Well, that'd be like saying, well, then you're all Zionist, because our political establishment, that the top leaders are now Zionist. Yeah. That means your belief system is that. That's not how it worked. There were people in these European lands that preserved their traditions for thousands of years. Yeah. And they couldn't, as you said, they couldn't exterminate the major holidays we had. They just had to work
with it. They just renamed them.
So it kind of, a lot of the religion is combined with these holidays still. That's what I knew that.
There's a book called The Germanic Influences on Early Medieval European Christianity or something like that. I forget the exact title, right? But it shows
you can't deny the pagan influence even on Christianity.
I don't know the details on it, but I'm aware that's all in there.
Yeah.
But when I was younger, I was like anti-religion. I remember reading some of like Sam Harris's Gospel Embarrassing, Sam Harris's book, and he bashed Christianity and Islam, left out Judaism for some reason.
Interesting, huh?
And then, I was like, oh, it's bad. Religion's bad. But then I started looking and seeing the positive of religion and realized it's a lot more. And then, if you're going to Europe and you go to see these churches, they're just absolutely beautiful that they built for God, and all the beautiful art they made, and you see how it brings communities together, peoples together. So that's why I try not to shit on
it. It's more recent. What do they call them, Jake?
They call them the Gothic cathedrals.
Yeah.
Right? What's that about? That's the Germanic
the
people,
Goths.
Right? In fact, if you go into some of these churches and you look up at them, it's a canopy of trees, right? Mm-hmm. The pagans worship trees. It's actually the whole nave of the church and stuff.
Well, it's still built for a god and a higher power, though, regardless of who that god is.
Exactly.
They feel magical, those buildings. You walk in, you're like, wow.
Oh, it's totally sacred geometry weaved into them, the golden ratios. It's an incredible architectural feats, right?
I'm sure Viking ships felt that way,
And the Muslims built some good ones, too. Like in Istanbul, there's the church and the mosque side by side, the Blue Mosque and the
Sophia.
Yeah, those are just beautiful buildings.
That was, again, all these are traditions from the ancient world, right? They actually dug out during the Renaissance period, they dug out the old, wisdom that had been lost. And again, you can get into what the reasons for that were. But they pulled a lot of that out. And they was like based on Greco-Roman, these civilizations existed in the Middle East, in Jordan, with Palmyra. It was all over the ancient world, essentially.
I just hate this idea that, Europeans didn't have any kind of code of ethics or morals until this Jewish guy shows up with the Ten Commandments.
I think that's ridiculous.
Humans figured this out long before across the world of morals, code of ethics, good behavior, things that aren't going to get you kicked out of the village and isolated, from other people.
I don't think we need religion for that.
Well, that's part of it.
I think religion does help a lot of people. That's why I decided, I'm not going to
bash
religion.
Because it's easy. It's a rule book.
Some of these churches are, I see tranny flags in the churches in the cities now.
But that's what's so funny. So they attack, pagans for their fun. Oh, look at this one gay guy who's a pagan. I found this Facebook group. And it's like, well, institution is steeped in it. And not every church, maybe, but the majority of them are, kind of thing. So it's not that it's pointless. It's a very interesting discussion. And I think it should be had. And I think it can be respectfully had, but at the same time, when you're dealing with faith and fundamental things that people feel are intricate to their identity, it's very personal. And even if you factually try to address these things, people see it as a personal attack. And you're trying to undermine, blah, 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 kind of thing. So the question is, when should the question be addressed, right? Is it right now? Maybe we should try to organize it. And I'm not saying this, it's going to be some kumbaya thing. People are going to go their own path. This is uncontrollable. They're going to do what they do, kind of thing, right? Mm-hmm. But I don't think it hurts to try to reach across the aisle and explain to people, this is what the reasons why I believe what I do. Mm-hmm. You tell me about yours then or whatever. And then we'll see, has it been a net positive, net negative? How do we move on from here? What will make us stronger, more dedicated as a people? In what direction can we go? There's all these questions, which I think is interesting, but it's usually being lost to the squeaky wheel, which is just like, bah, 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 bah,
I agree these are interesting conversations. I actually think a lot of what Adam Green says is really interesting.
Oh, so
I
do very, very good stuff.
We just got in a little spat, vital, so it got turned off, but I do think it's interesting stuff.
You should have him on.
I'm already doing
so many controversial topics, I guess, what more?
And the other thing people have to realize, too, especially amongst the white community, is we are the most diverse when it comes to spirituality. Not everyone will fall in just the Christian or just the pagan. I have friends that are atheists or woo-woo new age, or it's kind of across the board, So I just want unity at the end of the day. Your spirituality is personal to you.
Yeah.
But the issue that we have with Christianity and organized Christianity is this crazy support for Israel and turning on your own people. That's why we just say our motto is folk first above everything else, right?
Islam's a lot better at Christianity with sticking together with the Muslims. They always like treat other Muslims a lot better. Now, there is all the fighting in the Middle East between Sunni. This. So that's the exception. But the Muslims I'm always around, they always like greet each other differently and treat each other. Like, they treat me good too, but I see like, you're a Muslim. Like, they're going out of way to help each other.
Yeah.
Christians don't quite do that the same, I don't think. Like, I haven't noticed it, at least.
No, they find this. This sect of Christianity is going to hell, and this sect is wrong, and this particular sect is – it's just a mess. And
there is the battle between the Shia and Sunnis. But other than that, the Muslims I see, they go out of the way to help other Muslims more than other groups.
Yeah. I think we'll get to a point where these are still luxuries that we can afford to bicker over. Mm-hmm. But at some point, we're going to reach a stage where, like – you either get together and fight or you're going to die. Like you're going to go extinct.
It might be soon.
They're trying, right? They are trying. Doing tick there.
Bill Biss says, Henrik and Lana, happy Friday. Great to see Jake Shields in the studio today. Yes, and the Boom Man, you're going to love this because you said you never say the N-word, but you can take the nigger out of the jungle, but you can't take the nigger out of the nigger.
I say it sometimes. I start saying it late. I start saying it a lot less. I still say it occasionally because sometimes you just have to. Sometimes, like I said, a tweet the other day, I was in sin and it didn't quite work the same without nigger in it. I'm like, I got to add the nigger in there. I was trying to stop saying the word.
Just get it out of your system.
I started saying it a lot less. I just wanted to respect, you know.
That's funny. All right. Anonymous Goy says, I'd like to invite you all to a whitepill.tv. We are a pro-white platform owned by white people, funded by white people. All streamers get 100% of donations.
Okay, cool. Yeah, we'll definitely look into that. Yep.
Thank you.
Cool. All right, there's one more there, Lana.
I missed it. You might have to take it.
Did you do Billy Beans, right? There's one on Rumble here. Warborn. Good to see you guys. That's right. Hey, guys, Joe and Julie here. Great show as always. Awesome to see Jake. They're helping to expose the liars. Jake's shirts kick ass as well. Keep up the good work, everyone. Yeah. Truth, fears,
Fightbackpodcast.com. I got all kinds of cool...
give us a little plug here before we...
I got a couple more, though, too. Okay. But yes, I want that plug. Cockfree Zone says, hello, Henrik and Lana. Good to see you. Strong. Thanks again for all you do. Hail the folk. Charles Turner Jr. says, as an example of the Christian versus non-Christian issue on our side, a guest on Vince James' show was critical of pagans. However, Vince and one of his co-hosts, Rebecca, stood up for you guys. They're friends of mine, that's why.
Yeah.
I thought their guests failed to grasp why some of us may be critical of Christianity. Yeah, they're ready to just throw us under the bus. That was this whole big thing recently.
Interesting.
And, you know, and we go out of our way to... you know, for me, I've always been kind of the peacemaker. I'm someone that can hang with lots of different crowds of people myself. I've been that way my whole life. And I think it's garbage to be 90% united on things and then like fight over this, you know, your spirituality or whatever.
What I'm interested in is if they are 80 or 90% on your side, if you attack them in such a way that will just strengthen them to walk away from you in certain respects. And this is not everyone's path. I'm not criticizing anyone who, if you think that's the right path, that's fine. But I'm saying you can have complementary tactics, right? Yes. Essentially, like just, again, I'm genuinely interested in seeing what people do believe and what the reasons are. And can we discuss these things and make them see why I see what I do? And again, I mean, they want to convert me and maybe I want to convert them, but that's just what it is. You know what I mean? They think they're right. Obviously, that's why they hold the positions that they do. But this is the same as in politics. But when you deal with faith, it's a completely different like arena altogether, which is very, very hard.
I know. I have Christian friends. I was once Christian. I'm pagan. I have pagan friends. And it's like we just unite on the bigger things and like folk first. Yeah. We've got other things, other fish to fry here. Like, can we just do that?
Right. Like, it gets complex for some people, though. It gives them something to unite. So I don't know.
Yeah. Some people are very, very rigid.
To me, I get along with all religions, but
not everyone does, you know.
I guess we're unique that way. I mean, some people are very dogmatic, you know, and they just can't have any kind of flexibility. You need some flexibility and adaptability in this day and age.
Well, I don't need them to believe what I believe.
Yeah, we're not forcing them to convert to Odin or whatever, you know.
So many different religions and stuff here, it's just not realistic, you know. Like some of these countries, if something's like 98% something, I could see, like if I go to one of these Muslim countries, it's I'm probably not gonna be treated the same not being a Muslim. But America is so mixed up to try to exclude people for different religions, stupid.
Yeah.
I mean, it's stupid anywhere, but here it's really not gonna make sense.
And I also think the reality of across European nations is, you know, you're not gonna ever have Christian nationalism 100%. You're never gonna have pagan nationalism 100%. I don't foresee that happening.
Pagan nationalism.
As much as you might want that.
I'm gonna become a pagan nationalist.
Yeah, Yeah, I mean, we've had those things in the past, but now it's, you know, it's a different ball game now.
So do you right? get a lot of hate being like a pagan nationalist or whatever? With you probably have a lot of Christian followers.
Some Christians, and like the thing is, I have a good heart. I'm a good person. Yeah. I mean well, but then they just have this misinterpretation, you know, this wrong vision of what it means to be a pagan, and that's why I'm like always trying to. Yeah,
I think of Brana. What's that chick's name? The witch for Abramovich.
Yeah, for
or
the pedophile witch or whatever.
There's that witch with the spirit cooking with Hillary Clinton.
Oh, yeah, Abramovich.
And it's like all our ancestors were pagan. It's tied to, you know, farming and the cycles and the season of the sun and fertility and nature. It's like the most grounded shit you can think of. You know, it doesn't have to do with, you know, witches flying on brooms and orgies and mushrooms. Sure, they might have had some mushrooms.
They might have those too, yeah, some mushrooms, yeah.
But, like, whatever. Mushrooms, it's a transcendental, fine. You know, shamanic experience. I'm fine with that.
Yeah. Yeah. The fight on this issue will keep going after this is done.
One more. Glenn the Chinaman. Right. Yes, we have a Chinese guy who supports us. Freedom
what up,
Chinaman?
Yep. Can I get that Chinese discount? I want the 20% off for the Chinese.
We're funded by the Chi-Coms, guys.
The Chi-Coms, guys. They're running Hollywood.
Yeah, I know.
I saw the, was it shop with the tariff stuff? The shops in China that were starting to charge 126% tariffs if the customer was American.
Oh, really? Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. All right. Anyway, yeah, so tell us about some of the stuff, where people can follow you. Obviously, this is your website here, Fight Back Podcast.
That's just for my merch and stuff, which I guess that's how I make money. But like the podcast, just Fight Back, pretty much on all platforms. Haven't been taken down yet anywhere. Have that everywhere, you know, Rumble, YouTube, Spotify, Apple, BitChute, all those places. Jake Shields, AJJ for Twitter. I have a lot of fun on there. My Instagram, just Jake Shields.
Very good. Awesome. All right.
Because you may be popular in our circles, but not everyone knows about you.
Yeah, right?
You know? My dad's going to love you.
There's
a couple more, actually, on Rumble. Televised Lie says, will Jake have Adam Green on? Yeah, well, we're talking about...
Yeah, no, I will. As long as he calls and is respectful, we can have a conversation. We just had kind of a bad thing.
Yeah.
That's ran by my employee. That's the podcast Twitter. They follow that one, too, which is the Jake Shields AJ is my main one. They follow both, but that's the one that I tweet from.
All right.
People think I'm the other one too. No, that's my crazy employee who's a complete lunatic. Sometimes I'm like, all right, don't get me banned. So I don't know what this guy's going to tweet. So whatever's on there, that's not for me.
You got to rein him in, man.
You got
to put the leash on.
I don't like to criticize people's free speech. He got doxxed, is what's funny. And it's like, well, my boss is Jake Shields, bitch. For his other account, he had an extreme account. I'm not going to say I think he's trying not to get doxxed again, but he had a very extreme account and he got doxxed. And it's like, well, I guess I'm not getting fired.
Nice. Yeah.
If I believed in the Holocaust, I'd get fired.
Right. Also, someone says, who's the name here? I missed that. White Knight 126 is a 10-minute, extremely watered-down introduction to paganism, tradition, and spirituality in a YouTube link there.
Okay.
We'll pull that up. Thank you very much. And Ayn Cherusker says, good episode. The struggle continues.
That's right. All right. Good stuff. All right. So, yeah, so we set a little bit different schedule here today, but we're going to wrap up. No Afterflash today. But we will do something here over the weekend, obviously, with Western Warriors. So definitely tune in for that. I want to say thanks to our producers and executive producers. You know who you are. You can get one of those at redhousemembers.com. Odyssey. Actually, you can't get it on Odyssey because they de-striped Odyssey. So it is unmonetized.
See, it still continues.
Currently.
It still continues.
My store was pulled down twice last week from attacks, but it got put up in Shopify. I think one for a free Palestine shirt. Yeah, they pulled it down for that. Ridiculous. And three of my Spotify episodes got pulled off. I thought Spotify was a free speech platform.
It is not.
No,
I'm surprised it's even on there at all. So you're lucky. At least your YouTube is still there. Like, we were banned from YouTube in 2019.
I don't put everything on YouTube, though, and I moderate. I cut sections out of stuff. I just, you know, they're still trying to get it banned, those little tunnel dwellers from the SPLC.
I'm sure there's going to be a hit piece about your North Idaho tour and all
there's
these anti-Semites.
Coming out. Supposed to come out
we
yesterday.
Need to ban North Idaho. Please ban North Idaho from
this
your Jewish
whatever. This place is wild. I'm just walking on the streets and people come up to me talking about Hitler and stuff. I'm like, what is going on?
Shh, don't tell him.
You guys Sig Helen?
No, it's just, it's very ugly here. It's lots of just potatoes.
I moved from California. Okay. Move here now.
I basically have the good ones.
Yeah, people shit on, people shit on Californians, but
it's the good ones
that
are moving up
cool
here. Yeah, it's all like the base ones are moving up here. Yes. They're getting the hell out of that shithole.
We need that demographic.
They're the most base people here.
I think
saw
I
what
told
happened
you.
In California.
Yes, I told you. It's usually the people that have grown up here that don't realize how good they have
it. Californians are saving this place.
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh, gosh.
I hate to hear it. They've driven the prices up, though.
Yeah,
damn it.
Yeah, getting new California prices.
Remember the headline? That was funny. Two headlines next to each other. Coeur d'Alene is a Nazi town, or whatever. And the next
white supremacists,
the hottest real estate market in America, Coeur d'Alene.
That's why. Yeah, no, it's beautiful. This place is beautiful, and your house is amazing, by the way.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you. Appreciate it. Yeah, the studio. Very happy about the studio. We finally got a good space.
Yeah, awesome, studio.
Yeah, thank you.
And it just so happened that we're not that far from. Not that I care about these guys, but the Aryan Nations.
Oh my God, are you serious? I think a Jew infiltrated them too.
Probably.
If they didn't, my friends were in prison. They get out and they got the swastika tattoos. They don't know any. They don't know anything about.
Yes.
All right. Man. Awesome. Well, this was fun. Thank you for coming in, Jake. Appreciate it.
Cool.
Appreciate your time.
Maybe I should go interview the Aryan Nation after this, actually.
Yeah, there you go. I don't think they're
around. I think they're disbanded. I think now it's just feds, probably. Yeah.
If there's anyone interested there, I go talk to them. I like talking to interesting people.
Yeah.
Be like, so is it true you guys infiltrated by the Jews?
Maybe we'll
I feel like there's kind of
secrets.
Like that. They're kind of, I don't know, some guys get offended about this, but like the 1.0 white nationalists, you know? But then if you go back far enough, like everyone used to be white nationalists. It's nothing. Yeah. We didn't have to say it because it just was a white country. We were nationalists. We didn't have to explicitly call it that. You know, that's more of like a modern thing.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Yep. That's right.
And then there was kind of like the scuzzy version of it that came around later. There's dramas and feds.
They all had
they knew
what was going on, and they had the talking points, and they laid foundations for people to be able to eventually see what really is going on. You know, so they should have.
It is so weird the whole like, oh, don't platform a white nationalist. Like I said, the scene in the coming around, like, why did you platform these guys? And it's like, why wouldn't I? Why would I not sit there and hear their ideology?
Yeah, if they're so bad, right? Hear them out then.
They don't hate about this, but they don't care if you platform anyone else. You can platform the communists, anyone else, pedophiles, murderers.
That's just it.
You know, I'm going to interview a Hell's Angel just got out of prison and shot people. I'll get no backlash for that.
Well, it's again, because if you actually hear what they say, it's very reasonable and they're respectful. And so that is the danger, right? Shut them up. Make sure you platform
Russo
them.
And Duke, exactly. They were so reasonable that like people don't want to hear it. That's when I realized, after talking to both those guys, that's when I really realized that, like, oh, those guys were so reasonable. That's why they're so silenced.
That's usually how it goes.
And Russo, I don't think he's allowed to have a Rumble even in Twitter, and it's crazy.
I think they're Telegram primarily. They have websites, obviously, but they're limited
Telegram.
For sure. Yeah,
I think the rest are up here, right, where they got arrested for their going to some like tranny thing.
Yes, they were going to protest or just up, basically.
They were hiding evidence. They ended up throwing his case out, but some of the guys didn't have a lawyer to fight it. Russo, someone I think gave him some money to fight it. One of his people in his, but some of the other guys didn't, so they had to plea out to deals, and they were hiding evidence. There was it was all complete bullshit. I can't remember the details.
They confiscated their phones. Yep. It was all, all kinds
Russo
of
told me a story. I can't remember the details. Yes. Yeah, but it was like completely insane.
Yeah, it was. It was basically a bunch of gays were coming to do like their, what is it, some tranny singing in the park. Basically. And none of them lived here. They came from all these other places, from Portland, from Seattle, to come, shove their dicks off to kids.
Yeah. We're not allowed to protest that.
Yeah, so people were coming
protesting. They literally got arrested for protesting that. And,
and they were innocent in the end. They had no weapons. They said the flagpoles were weapons or whatever.
Some of those guys still got convicted because they pled out because they didn't have the money for a lawyer. So it's absolutely ridiculous. Yeah. The ones that did, they got dropped because they were hiding stuff. Yeah, because some of the guys, they didn't want to fight it. They don't have the $10,000 or $20,000 you need for a lawyer. Mm. So they just plead out for a misdemeanor.
Yeah.
But some of the guys did fight it in the end, and it got thrown out for the guys that fought it.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah, it was garbage.
Yeah. All right, guys. Feel happy with that? Should we wrap up?
Yeah.
All right.
I could go for another hour, but I know we have another thing coming up there. But thank you, everyone out there.
Benjamin, he's a maniac.
That's your next stop.
He's a complete maniac, but I like him.
All right. Awesome, guys. Thank you for tuning in, everybody. Thank you, Jake, once again, for coming in. Appreciate your time today.
Absolutely.
Have a good weekend, guys, and we'll see you for Western Warrior here next. Sign up over at RedHouseMembers.com. If you like what we do, support the show as we can continue. We appreciate you guys. Take care.
See ya.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for watching. Go to RedIceMembers.com and sign up for our exclusive members content. Don't miss our latest shows, interviews, and other videos only for subscribers. You can also become a member by signing up at SubscribeStar.com/RedIce. Get full access and help support our work. See you on the other side.
New Red Ice merch available now. Hope First t-shirts for adults and for toddlers. Fatigues for men. Our favorite, the Red Ice Camper mug or ceramic with black print. High quality leather keychain with solar boat imprint. Our Red Ice hat, one of our best sellers. Pick one up today. Or why not? Gray Auslander Rouse t-shirts for both women and men. We also have fridge magnets, Hulk, First, One Disease, and our black men's t-shirt with the classic red solar boat. Hulk, First. Get your Red Ice merch from LanasLlama.com. Get an item today. Lana's Llama, proud sponsor of Red Ice.